Okay, we said last time that we made a decision, to learn the Malachos in the order, basically, of the Mishnah, of the Rambam. So we'll start with the Mishnah, the Chayim Gimel Ner Aleph. Avos Malachos Arboim Chaser Achas. So here we have two terms that we just have to define, again, very briefly before we get to Choresh. What is Avos and what are Malachos? In terms of Avos, we have a definition of Avos, a working definition, that applies to Avos and Zikin, but it won't help us very, very much in terms of Shabbos. Rashi and Avbezim at Aleph on the Mishnah of Arba Avos and Zikin points out, Avos Kari Lahanoch Viksivan Vikra Behedya. That Avos and Zikin, Shor, Bor, Ma Behever, are those that are listed specifically, black on white, explicitly, in the Tzukim in Parashas Mishpatim. But since, in terms of Shabbos, we don't have such a... an easy way out, we'll have to come up with a different definition of Avos. And so the Gemara over there, in Baba Kama, the Beza Medalas, comes up with a definition. That same Gemara is quoted over here in Shabbos on the Afsadi Vavam Adays. So as you have a Gemara in Shabbos, just turn to the Afsadi Vavam Adays, and at the middle of the page, it points out, Amai Kari Le Av, Amai Kari Le Tolda. So we have a phrase, Hachta Havi Le Mishkan Chashiva Kari Le Av. That we have over here two phrases, Mishkan and Chashiva, that are relevant to the phrase of Av, but there are slight differences within the gears over here. Tosfos Alatar, and after Yivam Adays, Yivam Maskul, Rav Eliezer, quotes three different gearsot within the Gemara. So if we'll take them in the order of 3, 2, 1, or the third gears of Tosfos first. The four lines from the Banner of Tosfos, he says, Aval Igar Sinan Hachta Havis Mishkan Chashiva V'Kari Le'av. Namely, you put a comma after the word Mishkan. Hachta Havis Mishkan Chashiva V'Kari Le'av. That which was used in the Mishkan, that's the definition of that which is important, and that's why it's called an Av. And we only have one factor. The only factor is Mishkan. For those of you who have a bit of a background in Hilchos Shabbos, I mentioned to you that the Sefer Eglei Tal deals with the first 12 Avos Malachos, Yata Hakadama, where he brings the Machlokes Rishonim, what aspect of the Mishkan are we dealing with? The building of the Mishkan or the Avoda in the Mishkan? Which of these serves as the prototype of Avod? So Machlokes Rishonim, most Rishonim deal with the building of the Mishkan. Rav Chai Gaon brings in also the Avoda within the Mishkan, namely Metilas Neshama, Shechita. Are we working off of the shtita sakarbanos, or working off of the shtita of those animals whose skins were necessary in order to be able to build the Mishkan? Okay, but that's a theoretical machlokas. But in any case, so we have one girsa that the criteria is Mishkan. We have another girsa which puts the comma somewhere else. That's the first girsa Tosus quotes. Yista garsi, hach dehave the Mishkan chashiva kari le'av. That which is chashuv is an av, namely being in the Mishkan itself is not enough of a factor. There were things in the Mishkan that were done, both in the building and in the avoda, that didn't make it to the level of chashivut, like you have major league and minor league. So that which was chashiva kari le'av. Why is the Mishkan mentioned at all? So that there's a Maharam in the back of the Gemara in Baba Kama, where he offers two hypotheses. One parallel tells us over here, namely, that even if it was in the Mishkan, if it wasn't Chashuv, it wouldn't be an Av. But if it was in the Mishkan and low Chashuv, it wouldn't be an Av. Or another option, which I think rings very much true to our own ears, is that when you look at the Avos Malachos, and you see that you have a group of 13 Malachos dealing with weaving, and somehow does not appear to us to be the creative activities that we think about in the 21st century, that we think about currently, but if it was chashiv in the time of the Mishkan, that already defined it as an av. Then we were talking about the setting of time, that which was chashiv in a society which was much more down to earth, which was much more linked to nature, that is what is chashiv, even though nowadays we would perhaps view other things as being more chashiv in the world of Malacha. The third gear, so is that which Tosfos quotes over here in the middle. is that Havis the Mishkan v'chashiva kareleyav. That is a combination. You need two criteria. A, that it be chashiv, and B, that it be in the Mishkan. Chashivas alone would not be enough. Mishkan alone would not be enough. We need some sort of a combination. We have to have the two intersecting circles, Mishkan and chashiva, for it to be enough. This is just background material. You should realize that in terms of the background of us, clearly we're dealing with the linkage to the Mishkan. As to whether this is a necessary linkage, just a coincidence, what exactly is the criteria, chashivus, mishkan, or both, that's totally in this Gemara. That's in terms of the concept of av. In terms of malacha, so there's a very, very famous section in Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, which is a student, spiritual student, Diane Grunfeld, wrote up in a book called The Sabbath, that there's a difference between, Shimshon Raphael Hirsch is in Aseret HaDibros, in Parashas Yisro, on the concept of Zohar, Siyama Shabbos, Lukacho, Sheshes Yim and Ta'avod, Yitzitukam Alachtecha, that he divides difference between Avoda and Malacha. Avoda is physical exertion. That is not which is forbidden on Shabbos. Malacha is a creative act. Creative acts are those that are forbidden. However, one has to just add one criteria, and that is that we're dealing with creative acts within the physical world. Creative spirituality is not only not forbidden on Shabbos, but L'chora is expected. In Siman Reish Tzadi, in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah over there, in Siv Katan Gimel points out, Kasvu Hasvar Mishem HaZohar, Mitzvah Al Adam L'chadesh Chidushei Torah B'Shabbos. It's not enough to learn on Shabbos. You're supposed to dafka b'machadesh. You're supposed to have a malechas limud. Umisha eno bar hachi b'machadesh, yilmo devarim shelo lamad ad heino. Namely, that if you can be creative, wonderful. If you can't be creative, at least be fresh. At least be new. That's part of the onik Shabbos. So when we speak about the Easter of malacha, we're dealing with creativity, the creativity in the physical realm, not creativity in the spiritual realm. And of course, the rationale is that which we pointed out in the Hakdama of the Mishnah Berurah to Hilchos Shabbos, that Shabbos is Shorash Emuna, Leida Shehaolam, the physical world as we know it, Hu Mechudash, Bekevan Shebara Hakol, Hu Adon Hakol, Anachnu Avadav, etc., etc. So that is the classical explanation. Of course, one has to bend a little bit mental gymnastics to fit Hotza'a into such a definition. Hotza'a basically is changing the location of an object. Why is that called creativity? So perhaps it's a subcategory of some sort of a social creativity that allows for interaction between people. In any case, in the book The Sabbath, that he discusses it. But there is a definition that predates Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, and also that predates his Talmidim, and that definition is dafka found in the Ralbag. The Ralbag pretty much was a safer satun because of the type of print in which it was printed. It was usually that you needed a magnifying glass to read it in normal mikros to golos. So Moshe Rav Kook did us a favor and put it out in five volumes. It's another edition as well that was worked on simultaneously. But I'm not a Bucky Ralbag, but there is a sefer called Shvisas Shabbos that I mentioned to you that was written by Rav Yitzchak Meltzer, a Yerushalmi. He quotes the Ralbag at the end of Malachas Dosh, and he said when he saw this Ralbag, this opened vistas, it opened windows. His terminology is Pasku Harbe Min Olim V'Yityashru Harbe Gavnunim. It flattened hills and it opened up locks. What was the vort of the Ralbag that he was so enamored with? So again, in the Aseret HaDibros, in Parashas Yisro, there's a very, very long Ralbag in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Aleph. The last paragraph says as follows: V'hu mevuarod sheha'achila, eating, eina malacha. Why is eating not a malacha? After all, when we eat, we chew. And when we chew, we are tochein. And so why shouldn't that be a malacha? Aval hi nichneset v'geder ha'pulot ha'tiviyot. Ki balei chayim kulam ya'asu ze ha'poal. V'lazelo ne'esra b'torah. U'viyot kein, hinei shvirat ha'dvarim she'im tzorach achila lo yikorei malacha. Ki lu tomar shvirat egoz le'echo ma'she b'tocho. Ki ze ya'asuhu balei chayim gam kein b'shineihem. Gam shvirat kelim l'kachat ma'she b'tocha me'ha'ochlim, etc., etc. Namely, that anything that an animal does is not considered to be malacha. Malacha is a creative human activity. And therefore, what did the Shvisas Shabbos see in this Ralbach? That when we learn the malacha of gosh, extracting, then it doesn't seem to link in with us that taking a seed out of its shell, that's called disha, that's extracting. Milking a cow is considered to be disha, that's extracting. However, opening a peanut, or breaking open a walnut, or peeling a banana, that's not extracting. What in the world is the conceptual difference between one and the other? In both of them, you have a food which is enclosed. You're removing the outer cover to get to the food. You're extracting the food from the outer cover. My nafkamina, if you're doing it, you know, it's in terms of threshing grains of wheat or breaking open walnuts. It's really the same activity. So says the Rabbah, the difference is that animals don't thresh grains of wheat. Animals do peel bananas and break open nuts. So that which is an activity of the organic life is not considered to be a malacha, as opposed to a ben adam, something which is unique to the human personality, that's a malacha. Now you realize that this definition certainly is an opening, it's a key, but it's not enough, because we have a number of malachot that are done by animals. So it's unfortunately a story yesterday and 2 days ago in America, up in the Catskills, that a bear came and grabbed a little baby. Right? Baby, that's seder, right? That a bear trapped the baby, and then the bear killed the baby, right? So that's nitzilas neshama. Those are malachot. So why are they malachot? The bears do them. A bear is sad. A bear traps, and a bear eats, who had in their other malachos that mefarik that are done by animals. Beavers are certainly have certain malachos that they have bone that they're involved in. So what then is the criteria? Where do you draw the line between a human activity and an activity which is part of the broader world of life? So there's a sefer called Beit Yishai that was written by Rav Shlomo Fisher, a very, very unique man for all seasons, who's currently living in Yerushalayim and Harnov, around in the Yeshiva Sitri, and there he sort of hones the definition a little bit that by an animal, what the animal is purely interested in is taking care of his hunger. He's interested in eating, but there are certain technical prerequisites in order to eat. Namely, an animal would generally not be able to digest a walnut in its shell, or it doesn't particularly care for the taste of a banana peel, etc. And therefore, it uses this as simply a technical prerequisite for eating. And that which is simply a technical prerequisite for eating, that would not be viewed as a malacha. Masha'en came by man, we're talking about a process. We're talking about a creative process of controlling nature. And in that sense, trapping is only the first stage to then killing, and then skinning, and then curing, etc., etc. Or we would thresh in order to be able to grind, in order to be able to knead, in order to be able to cook. And we were dealing with a process of creativity which is uniquely human. So that which fits into the process, as opposed to an act, that is considered to be malacha. However, something which is purely a technical requirement in order to be able to eat, that's considered to be eating. That's the equivalent of a first stage of eating. Eating per se is an act which is not linked to human beings per se. In any case, it lends itself to a lot of thought. It's a nice discussion, but I really don't get overly involved in it. Yes.
Chimpanzees take sticks and shape them very carefully so
they can
reach, say, termites out of
the pots. Right, so that's a technical prerequisite for eating.
If you're shaping a stick,
fine. But they're not interested in selling these sticks and having shaped sticks and building buildings. They're interested in eating termites. This is Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the chokhma of how to eat a termite. This is the way of getting a termite. So therefore, that act per se would not be a malacha while we're a human being.
What? Yeah. So you see, it seems to be a matter of degree, because in many cases of humans, they also trade, and they also want to.
Right.
I don't have a brain or I have fish.
Correct. I agree that it requires a lot of work. No puns intended. To work out the criteria. However, to just give an overview, one should realize that that there is a difference between human and animal, that there is a difference between creativity and between exertion. Rav Shimshon Feld Hirsch also points out his keta, he enjoys dealing with etymology, that the shoresh of the word malacha is malach. Malach, malachei hasharet, are basically messengers. Namely, that we turn nature into our messenger. That we're controlling nature. We turn nature into that which will serve us, which will be our shlichim. That process of turning nature into that which will serve us, that's what's called malacha. But again, this is just a general overview. Therefore, I didn't even give you the Ma'ar Makamos, because what we want to do is to get into the malachos per se. But there are two words in the Mishnah that we have to understand, avos malachos, and now at least we know the parameters of their definition. So avos malachos are boyim koser achas. The Mishnah begins, hazoreya v'hachoresh v'hakotzer. Now clearly we're dealing over here with the process, and the Gemara was already bothered that l'chora harisha precedes zriya in a normal process. Normally you plow a field and then you plant it. So the Gemara points out that our Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael the land is particularly hard, and post-zriya there was a second harisha in order to allow the seeds to be properly ensconced in the ground. But that is basically to give us a sense of the uniqueness of Eretz Yisrael. But in general, the harisha, the real harisha, the true blue harisha that we're speaking about is the harisha that precedes zriya, and therefore we learn harisha before zriya. Again, for two reasons. Firstly, it comes first chronologically, it comes first causally, but also we'll see that it's used as a springboard, I mentioned a few days ago, a springboard for many concepts of Malach Hashem Tzvichu L'gufa, Darashen HaMiskavim, etc. So it pays to see at the beginning. So let's start with harisha. Okay, HaChoresh. If we want to understand what Choresh is, we want a working definition in order to be able to build. So if you look in the Sugyot and Daf Ayin Gimel Amadeis, there we have a list of a number of activities that come under the realm of Harisha. Tana HaChoresh, HaChofer, HaChoresh, Kuban Mulacha Achasein. It comes and then it points out also Hayelo Gavshushis in the Tala. Then Basada Chayav Mishim Choresh, Hayal Gumama, Vatamama, then Basada Chayav Mishim Choresh. Rashi gives us a definition, Mishum Malacha Achasein, Eino Chayav Ela Achas, the Kuhu Lurepuye Ara Avide. We're dealing with an act of softening the earth. And this act of softening the earth can take place via the act of plowing, of digging, of making ditches. It all softens the earth. Then similarly, when it speaks about flattening the mounds, Mishum Choresh, Rashi says, the Marpe Ara. Marpe Ara, we're softening the earth. Where did Rashi get this definition from? The phrase, Rupuye Ara, Marpe Ara, is not a phrase which is found in the Sechah Shabbos. So how did Rashi know that this is the definition of Choresh? So the answer is that Rashi learned Shas. And Rashi, before he wrote his Perush on Shabbos, already learned Moed Katan. And on Daf Beis and Medbeis in Moed Katan, there is a sugya about an individual who on Shabbos is either watering plants or he is weeding. And the Gemara asks, Mishum Mai Masrinan Bei. This individual we assume is doing a Malacha D'Oraisa, and we want to give him Hatra'ah, and the Hatra'ah has to be linked in to an Av. So we want to know under which category, under which rubric, does Hashka'ah, do Hashka'ah and Mikush fall? Do we give them Hasra'ah for Zriah, or do we give them Hasra'ah for Harisha? So it's a machlokes Amoraim over there. That the Gemara says, that Rabba says, just to read it inside. Right at the very beginning of Moed Katan. Itmar, Hamanakesh, Vahamashke, Vemayim, Vizroyim, Vishabos, Vishum, Maimaskinan Bey, Rabba Omar, Mishum, Choresh, Rav Yosef Omar, Mishum, Zoreya. Omar, Rabba, Kavosi, Didinestabra, Madarko, Shokoresh, Lurpuye Ara, this is our phrase, Lurpuye Ara, Hainame, Mirpi Ara. Amar Rav Yosef, Kavasa Yedidna Stavra. Ma Darko Shel Zoreya Gatzmuchei Peira, Hachi Nami, Matzmiach Peira. Amar Le Abaye, Le Rabba, Vidach Kasha, Le Rav Yosef, Kasha Sukha, Le Rabba, Amar Le Abaye, Le Rabba, Vidach Kasha, Le Rav Yosef Kasha. Lividach Kasha, Mishim Koresh, Mishim Zoreya Lo, Le Rav Yosef Kasha, Mishim Zoreya In, Mishim Koresh Lo. And he brings a raya that things don't have to be exclusive, they can come under more than one category. But what over here is the machlokas? Namely, we're dealing, we pointed out we have avos malachos. And then we have subcategories called toladot. That which was the mishkan chashiva is an av, a subcategory which is similar is a tolda. So we have over here, depending upon our perspective, a similarity to zoreya, a similarity to choresh. Why choose one over the other? Is one more similar, one less similar? And why do we have to choose it all? A bias question. Why can't we say that it's both? So over here, within the Rishonim, we find that most Rishonim take a parallel approach. They use different terminology to take a parallel approach to understand the machlokes between Rabbah and Rav Yosef. The terminology of the Ritva is that do we go Azlinan Basar Hashta or Azlinan Basar Basot? Are we living in the present, or are we concerned about the future? What does the Ritva mean by that phrase? So most Achronim understand the Ritva in the light of Tosos over here, where Tosos speaks about the fact that we have every malacha on Shabbos, in order for it to be chayev, is a maleches machsheves, is an act which is done, the word machsheva could be again from the light of chashiva, chashivut, or from machsheva, or thought, but a melechas machsheves. So we have two words, melechas machsheves. Melechas refers to the act, machsheves refers to the goal. And therefore we have a question, when we view similarity of a tolda, are we working off of the act, of the hashta, of the melacha, of the ikar, or are we working off of the goal? Rabba savar basar ha-ma'ase madminan la, v'lo achar ha-machsheva. Rabbi Yosef savar basar ha-machsheva azlinan, below basar dimyom lema'aseh. Namely, what we would call in modern day terminology, we have a pu'ula and we have a tachlit. Every av has a pu'ula and a tachlit. There's an act and there is a purpose. And if we want to compare this particular framework to an av, there's the point of comparison on the level of the pu'ula, that's Rabba's svara, or is the point of comparison on the level of the tachlis, that is Rav Yosef Svara, or, says Abaye, why do you have to choose? Why can't it be enough that it can be compared to either or? If it's comparable either on the level of the pula or the tachlis, then it's chayah. So therefore, Menakesh and Mashke would be both Koresh and Zoreya, according to Abaye. As a parenthetical comment, what if something were to be parallel to an av, both on the level of the pula and the level of the tachlit, not either or. Now here we have a situation that sort of falls between the chairs. You have a chair of Zoreya, a chair of Koresh. You have the act of Mashke, which in terms of the action is similar to Koresh, Mir Piyara. In terms of the goal, it's similar to Zoreya, the Smufei Pera. But what if it were to be both? What if it were to be similar to Zoreya in both aspects? Or similar to Koresh in both aspects? That's a machlokes Rishonim. Going back to our sugya, we have lists of malachos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We have a list, HaZoreya, HaZomer, HaNoteya, HaMavrich, HaMarti, Kula Melach Achasen. Then we have another list, HaKoresh, HaKofer, HaKoresh, Kula Melach Achasen. Then we have a list, HaKotzer, HaBotzer, HaGoder, HaMasik, HaOre, Kula Melach Achasen. HaDosh, HaMenapet, HaMenapet, Kula Melach Achasen, etc. So the Rambam, in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Shabbos, says that we have a category called Me'ein Av. You have the Av Melacha, Hach Avi B'Mishkan Chashiva, and then we have a category called Me'ein Av. Me'ein Av is not a derivative, it's an equation. It's not just domer, it's not just similar, it is parallel to the Av. It's on the same level as the Av, and that's what the Gemara means over here by Malacha Achasein. It has the status of an Av. Me'ein Av, it's a quasi-Av, if you want to. When we have a situation where we have an identity as opposed to a similarity, namely we have two factors, Pu'ula and Tachlit, when something is identical on both the pula and the tachlit, and it's identical totally, it just happens to be slightly different in terms of the objects that are being used, that's considered to be me'enav. That's a Rambam shita. Rabbeinu Hananel al-Atar understands differently. About 12 lines down, Rabbeinu Hananel, in the margin of the Gemara, it says, Shanina mina, she'elu hashmiyin b'mishnah senu, chashuvin avot. V'hasha'ar, hein toladot. There's no such thing as mein av. There's either an av or a tolada. That which is in the Mishnah, you have one av, hatnavim mishkan chashiva, choresh is the av, and then the chofer, choresh, etc. are toladot. There's no, you don't have over here two categories, like the Rambam has. Av, mein av, tolda. Av is that which is in the Mishkan, mein av is that which is identical, tolda is that which is similar. According to Ben Hananel, the moment you move off of the av, he moved into a category of tolada. He points out later on, towards the end of the thin lines, hanoteya vlad hushel zareya. The difference between noteya and zareya, between planting a seed and planting a sapling, I mean, we would view as meinav. It's exactly the same thing. Says Rabbeinu Hananel, noteya is a tolda. Zareya was done in the Mishkan, and noteya was not done in the Mishkan, so therefore it is a tolada. Only two categories. So according to Rabbeinu Hananel, if something is similar or identical, it's still called a tolda. Rashi over here sort of falls between Rama Rabbeinu Hananel. Rashi mentions in Dibur HaMasko Kula Malach Achase, in the beginning of the thin lines, Zoreya Av Malacha, Noteya Nami Av Malacha, Dahainu Zoreya, Elazeb Yisroim Vezeb Ilanos, V'chein Madrich Umarkiv. So far it's like the Rambam, we have this category of Yein Av, Avol Zomer Tolda. And with the Rambam, it's consistent. The whole list are Me'ein Av. Rashi distinguishes, but we'll get to that when we deal with Zareya, where what's the machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam. But in any case, moving back to the Choresh, what we see in the Gemara in Moed Katan is that we have these two factors in terms of defining an Av, the Pu'ula and the Tachlis. If we have an identity on both levels, that could be a main av, according to the Rambam, and according to Rashi. When we have an identity in terms of one factor, we'll call that a similarity. That's already a tolda. That's already a tolda. And our question is, similarity in which regard? According to Rabba, we're only concerned with similarities in terms of the pu'ula. According to Rav Yosef, we're only concerned about similarities in terms of the tachlit. According to Abaye, we have our druthers. Either or, it turns them into a tolda. Yes? That's a very, very good question. The Gemara asks that question and deals with this within a situation where a person does a series of melachot. How many korbanot is chayav? We're going to see that there are practical consequences as well, but if we just hold off a little bit before we see the practical consequences. But simply in terms of categorization, if you were to be writing a book of Shimon Eider, and you would want to put Roman numeral 1, A, 1, 2, etc., how do you divide your book so we can have a tolda, etc.? But getting back to Choresh, what's important to us is that what Rashi over here is defining as Choresh, mir piyara, that's the pu'ula. That's the ma'aseh. That's the act of Choresh. Right? So we have over here a definition of the act, but we still have to ask ourselves what would be the definition of the tachlis? What's the purpose of Choresh? And in order to be able to build Choresh as a category, it has to have an act and a purpose, a pu'ula and a tachlis. We see from Moed Katan what is the pu'ula. However, what exactly is the tachlis? So here we appear to have a machloket Rishonim, which could be a machloket which goes back pre-Rishonim. Let's look in Rashi. Back to Rashi. So Rashi, Dibur HaMasel Guma Utmama, Rashi points out, Guma Utmama Ba'afar, that if you have a cavity and you fill it with earth, with dirt, Hainu Choresh. Why? Sheha'afar Shemil Abo Have Rafui. Firstly, we're dealing with softening the earth. By filling a cavity, we have softened that area of earth. Then Rashi continues, V'tov Lizria. V'tov Lizria, that now this earth is better for planting. V'hishva l'karka, v'yot Lizra im hasadeh. that the flatter the land is, the easier it is to plant in a larger area if the area is smooth. Now, this definition we find in Rashi. We find it also in the Me'iri. The Me'iri on the Mishnah goes through the Malachos one by one. And when he gets to the second Malacha, and it was Koresh, so he defines Koresh as HaKoresh Bekarka Lurapoto, that's the Maaseh, Kidei Lizroa Betocho, that's the Tachlid. You have a Pula and a Tachlid. Who had in the Or Zarua in Siman Nunhei also takes for granted that Dabar Shehu Yosir Tov Bizara Chayav Mishum Choresh, making the area more plantable, that already is considered to be the function, the purpose of Choresh. How did Rashi, the Me'iri, and the Or Zarua come to this definition? Where do we see a connection between Harisha and Zriya? So, I mean, one could learn it simply from the order of the Mishnah, namely Sidura Depat, that we have over here a certain process that we're moving from Harisha to Zriya to Tzira to etc. So we would have Harisha as a prerequisite for Zriya. That's, you know, simply Alpi Svara. In terms of Gemaras, we have a Mishnah later on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, which deals with the shear of Harisha. This will deal with as a category later on. But the Mishnah points out that Harisha is an exception. As opposed to most malachos that have a shear of a certain amount, that we'll see later on exactly what it is, a grogros, Harisha is a kol shehu. So the Gemara asks, Lamai Chazi, what in the world can you use a Harisha of kol shehu for? Chazi lebizra dekra, the kavasei gabi mishkan, when they built the Mishkan, needed dyes. In order to have dyes, dyes came from a vegetable source. The minimum size of vegetable would be from a very, very small seed. That minimal harisha would be enough for the minimal zriya, which would be enough to create the samanim. Namely, again, we're working off of Bubya the Mishkan, working off of the source that in the harisha in the Mishkan was used for the purpose of zriya. And that's what's going to define not only the pu'ula, but also is going to define the tachlis. The third source is the Gemara in Pesachim, which is quoted in the Or Zarua. The Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Mem Zayin deals with an unusual situation where you do one act and unintentionally, and you can be chayav eight different katzaot. We once had someone who came to help us in the kitchen, and in one act on Friday night, she was four katzaot. Running out of the kitchen. In any case, Yesh Choresh Telem Echad B'chayav Malav Mishum Shmona Gavim, and over there, one of those Gavim is Harisha on Yontif. Yontif and Shabbat are one and the same. And it points out that the Gemara says that we must be dealing with Adama Bar Zriya. We must be dealing with land which is plantable. And it appears that this is a criteria for Harisha. Harisha is in order to make this area more plantable, as opposed to Tsunma, as opposed to a rocky area. There would be no Harisha because there would not be Bar Zriya. Okay, so this then appears to be a mainstream approach that the tachlis of Harisha is Zriya. However, the Rabbeinu Hananel over here quotes the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi doesn't mention Zriya. The Yerushalmi uses other criteria. If you look down in the wide, wide lines of Rabbeinu Hananel, so he says over there, HaChoresh, HaChoretz, HaChofer, Kula Malach, Achasein, Asikna Kol Eilu Mishum Harisha. Now he quotes the Yerushalmi, Kol Shehi Liyapot Kakarka Besode Chayav Mishum Choresh, V'Kol Shehin Babayit Lahashvot Chayav Mishum Bona. Abo Lahashvot Karka Hasode, Rabbeinu Hananel quotes again, Chayav Mishum Choresh. And he quotes a pasuk. Again, this is all the Yerushalmi. Kedasiv, halo im shaveh paneha. Vehu kegon, the medayer, umaader, umachadeh, umash vegumot, mefeya gushim, misakel, mimalei bikaim, shetachat hazeitim, oseugiot, etc., etc. And he concludes, Kol davar shehu lahana'at karka chayav mishum choresh. Kafu mefurash b'Yerushalmi. Not a word about zri'ah. The phrase over here which is used is liyapot hakarka, and the malacha which is compared to is binyan. Now, you could say that the Yerushalmi is just waxing metaphorical. What does it mean, liyapot hakarka? Liyapot hakarka means tov lizriya. That's what land was made for. Man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Teren Yitzna, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused rain to fall, it caused plants to grow. That's what the earth is there for. The earth is there to give forth vegetation. And that's what all the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, the Korban Eidah, the Tanei Moshe, they all learn, liyapot hakarka, perush tov lizriya. The Or Zeruah as well. The Or Zeruah over there in Siman Min Hei quotes the whole Yerushalmi, exactly what we find over here in Hananel, and he says, Mikol makom lamadnu mehayerushalmi, kol davar shehu lahana'at karka, ubikach yoser tov lizara, chayav mishum choresh. Namely, that the Yerushalmi and the Bavli are all one and the same. We're dealing with the purpose of Zriah. So, that this could be an approach to the Yerushalmi. It could be an approach to the Yerushalmi. However, basically what we are doing is viewing the Yerushalmi through the eyes of the Bavli. But one could view the Yerushalmi as an independent source that may have an alternative track of Harisha, in which Zriya is not necessarily a criteria. And that's what would appear from the Rambam. We know that the Rambam very often used the Yerushalmi as a source of Halakha. The Rambam even has a Hilchot Yerushalmi. It was found in the Geniza. We know that it existed, but it was found in the Geniza. Shaul Lieberman put it out. Hilchot Yerushalmi, that what the Rif did to the Bavli, the Rambam did to the Yerushalmi. In order to write a Mishnah Torah, you have to have in front of you index cards. You have to have in front of you, some sort of format. So the Piskei Harash were the index cards of the tour, and the Rambam also had index cards, but not only of the Bavli, also he had index cards of the Yerushalmi. He wrote Hilchot Yerushalmi. And so if you look into the Rambam, and what's amazing is what's not there. The Rambam deals with Harisha time after time, both in Perek Zayin of Hilchot Shabbos in terms of defining Av and Tolda, and again in Perek Ches of Hilchot Shabbos in terms of defining Harisha per se. And what's missing is the word Zriah. But in Perek Beis, in Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, defining Malacha, that we have this category of Me'ein Av, Ketzahu Inyana, Echad Koresh, Echad Kofer, Echad Oseh Haritz, Ze'av Malacha, Kol Achas Ve'achas Mehen Chafira Bekarka, V'inyan Echadhu. That they have a similarity. The term doesn't mention anything about Zriah. Move over to Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph, HaKoresh Kol Shehu Chayav. Then it continues that anything which is done today, liyapos esakarka, he quotes the Yerushalmi, liyapos esakarka, hareze toldat choresh, umisha'asa ba kol shuchayav, v'chein ha-mashve p'nei ha-karka, again quoting the Yerushalmi, hishpil ha-tel v'dedo, mirei ha-gai v'chulei, chayav mishum choresh, v'chein ha-mashve gumot. If we look for this language in the Rambam, we'll find it in Perek Yud, halacha Yud Beis. Habone kol shuchayav, Hamashka pene hakarka v'bayit, don't you hishpil tel or mile guma, etc. Hareze bona. This is exactly the Yerushalmi, namely that the linkage over here is not between Choresh and Zoreya, but between Choresh and bona. What does it mean? The yapot et hakarka. We're talking over here making a Japanese garden. So the yuchas haran, the shita of the ran. Again, that which is found in Kedushei Haran says yeah. He says as follows. He's interested in making the field aesthetically pleasing. Lo Israel, not necessarily anything having to do with Zriya. Hilka, kol tikun hasada chashid mishum choresh. So that which we set up as a hypothesis, perhaps for the Yerushalmi, perhaps for the Rambam, is said black and white in the Miyukas Haran. So, again, the fact, in other words, it could be an alternate track, And then we would have a machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi as to not what is the pu'uga of Choresh. The pu'uga of Choresh, they both agree, is mir piyara. That is no machlokes. The machlokes would be, what would be the taflus of Choresh? Would the taflus of Choresh be to prepare for Zriya, Tovul Zriya? Would the taflus of Choresh be purely liyapot et akarka? And again, you could say as follows. The taflus of Choresh is liyapot et akarka. What does liyapot et akarka mean? Does liyapot et akarka only mean only within the framework of Zriya? Or is liyapot et akarka within the framework of Binyan? Just that Binyan is done in a house, Harisha is done in a field, but in terms of the conceptual purpose, we're talking over here about something which is more parallel to Binyan than to Zriya. Yes? The kosher who is the shiur. According to the Rambam, this could be the shiur of softening ground.
It's
a kosher who.
Zriya has nothing to do with Harisha. Zriya is not the end result of Harisha, which is one way of trying to get the Rambam. Why should you use the term kosher?
Because that's the halacha. There's no machlokas over here in terms of the halacha. The halacha is the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Achoresh kol shehu chayav. Period. The Bavli interprets Achoresh kol shehu chayav because it's Tovul Zriya. What we're saying is that the Rambam may have chosen an alternative definition of the Yerushalmi, and then the Yerushalmi, on that Achoresh kol shehu, may give a different reason why Achoresh kol shehu would be chayav. Why am I stressing this? I'm stressing it because when we look in Tishkei Halacha, we find these two tracks that if we open up a Chayei Adam to Melechas Choresh, the Chayei Adam, pretty much before the Mishnah Brura, would be considered to be the Posek Acharon for most of European Jewry. Maybe Kitzur Shulchan Aruch would be, with given competition. But in other words, you're dealing over here, basically within the Eastern European Jewry, the Chayei Adam was considered Posek Acharon. So listen to the language of the Chayei Adam. Hachoreshu Av. The Kevan Shekavanat Hachoreshu Repuye Ara, that is the Maaseh, the Az Tov Lizriya, the Bavli, the Gam Kavanosa Vahashos Hagumos Uliyapotan Kadeshia Hamakom Shaveh, the Yerushalmi, Lachain, Hachofer, Bar, Basada, etc., etc. Namely, that it doesn't have to be one or the other, that we could have two parallel texts of Harisha, one of the Bavli, one of the Yerushalmi, and you can pass them like both of them. It appears that Chayei Adam chose two tracks. You have the Rifui Ara, the Oz Tov Lizriya, Vegan Kavanasa Vahashos Hagumos Uyapotan, language of the Yerushalmi, Kadeshi Yehamacham Shaveh, per se. This Chayei Adam is quoted in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura in his Hakadama to Siman Shin Lamed Zayin. The Mishnah Brura pointed out in his Hakadama Tilcho Shabbos that as opposed to other areas of halacha, where he simply explains the Siman in an ongoing basis, in Hilchos Shabbos he's going to write mini Hakadamot. There's going to be a Hakadama to Bishul and a Hakadama to Binyan. Here he has Hakadama to Harusha. Akdin v'siman zeh Hakadama p'tzara. V'hi. This is my Hakadama, says the Mishnah Brura, to Siman Shin Lamed Zayin. Choreshu echad milametes avos melachos. V'keivan shekavonas achoresh l'repuye ara, da'az tov l'zriya, v'gam kavonas al lahashos hagumos l'yapos v'kadei she'emokam shaveh, Lachain, etc. He quotes the Chayei Adam word for word. The Chayei Adam is Mishnah Brura's Hakdama. Okay? So, there certainly is room for our thesis that we have over here two parallel tracks within Harisha, one Maaseh, two Tachliyot. Doing the Maaseh for Tachlit A would be Harisha according to the Bavli. Doing the Maaseh for Tachlit B would be Harisha according to the Yerushalmi. And there's no Stira. We can pass them like both. We pass him like both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The only spoke that gets stuck in the wheel, if you want to ask, is that there's a few more words in the Chayei Adam which are also quoted by the Mishnah Brura. He continues, V'chein, therefore, he summarizes, Kol hamash ve'gumos v'makom haro'i v'zriya chayav mishum choresh. The Kol Masha Osa, the Yapot HaKarka, who told the Choresh, the Chayav, the Kolshu, etc. In other words, he brings it over here that one of the requirements of Harisha is you require a makom haro'i lizriya. Now, if we're going to learn the tachlis of Harisha as being tov lizriya, then this criteria is certainly understood. However, if we are going to view the tachlis as a question of a parallel to binyan, that we're talking over here in terms of something which is functional, something which is aesthetic, irrelevant of the connection to Zriya, so why should we have this criteria of Makam HaRoi L'Zriya? And this is found also when the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Chayei Adam, he quotes this as well, the Makam HaRoi L'Zriya. So what I would suggest is look at the language of the Berurah. I mean, I think you come with the same suggestion. I'll read the Mishnah Berurah, which again is parallel to the Chayei Adam. V'chein, kol ha-mash ve-gumot ha-mokam ha-roi l'zriya, chayev mishum choresh. Im ha-yezeh ba-bayit, chayev mishum bonah. And we, what over here, mokam ha-roi l'zriya is the definition of what? I'll read the Gemara. Amar Rav Sheshes, ha-yezeh lo gafshushi sunatala. Ba'bayis chayav mishum boner, ba'sode chayav mishum choresh. Now I'll read that same thing in the Mishnah Berurah. The im kol amash ve'gumot emokam haroi lizriya chayav mishum choresh. Im haye ba'bayis chayav mishum boner. What phrase in the Gemara is parallel to sode? This is simply a definition of sode, namely that we have over here these two concepts: binyan and harisha. Binyan is in a bayis and harisha is in a sada. How do you distinguish between a sada and a bayis? Let's say you're building a tent, right? And you want to flatten the area in the tent. Is that binyan or is that choresh? Where do we draw the line? So the working definition of a sada is makom haroi lizriya. But that's all. That's all that was meant. It's not a question over here that this has to be the tachlis for zriya. That's an option. It could be a tachlis for Zriya. It could be a tachlis for Lahashvot, Liyapot. But you have to, but you're only chayav on choresh if it's in a sadeh. Here we have a definition of a sadeh. And that's all, it wasn't meant as anything more than that. Mamash simply taking the Gemara and helping us define a sadeh. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra that when you sell a sadeh, there have to be certain dimensions. And there's a whole machlokas tanoim, what are the dimensions of a minimum sadeh? So generally, we speak about a sada in terms of what it can produce. How much? We're talking about a beit sa'a? Are we talking about an aruga, etc.? So to define a sada as makam haroi lizriya, that is not a problem for us. So what comes out? Okay, so far then, I think that we can use this as our working definition of Harisha. Any questions up to this point? Yes. So now we go back to our question that we sort of left unanswered. Okay. Any other questions before I get, yes? Exactly. So the question is, what does Liyapos mean? So Liyapos in the Bavli is dealing always with Zriya. That's why Rashi quotes up to Zriya. However, the Liyapos in the Yerushalmi is never linked with Zriya. That's why it could be again. One could learn like the Or Zeruah and like the Pnei Moshe and like the Korban Eda, that the Liyapos in the Bavli Yerushalmi both mean Moshem Zriya, and Yerushalmi just never bothered to mention it. However, the Biuchas Varan clearly did not learn that way, and so we would have the Bavli and the Rishami agreeing the Tachlis is the Yapot. The question is, how would one define the Yapot? Does the Yapot require Tov Lizriya? That's what's Mashman Dachkuf Gimel. That's what's Mashman Sachin. That's what Rashi puts into the sugya over here on the Fayin Gimel. But the Rishami can learn it independent, that the Yapot could be an independent criteria. So you're correct. The phrase the Yapot is found both in the Bavli and the Rishami. The difference is that Tov Lizriya is only found in the Bavli, not in the Rishami. What Tavi mentioned is that we left something open, which appeared as Mr. Kahn pointed out, to be something that really, it doesn't bother us to leave it open because it's totally theoretical. And that is, where do we, how do we define Av, Me'ein Av, Tolda? We saw Machokes Rabbah, Rav Yosef, Abaye, identity, similarity, coming to this. Why not give me a Tolda Raisa? A Tolda Raisa, what difference does it make? Comes on the Or Zeruah and gives us a practical nafkamina, namely that this is not a purely theoretical machloket. And he asks as follows, what if you have a sada? You have a sada, a makom haro'i l'zriya. But currently, this sada is empty. There are no zra'im in this sada. Are you allowed to water, to pour water on such a sada? You want to wash your hands. It's Shabbos. You want to wash your hands. And you look around, you see, here there's grass, here there's grass, here there's grass. Here there's a patch of earth where there's no grass. Can you wash your hands over that patch of earth where there's no grass? So, we have to ask ourselves, mashke, pouring water over earth, mishumai maskinan day, what is it? It's not enough. Is it a tolda? So he said, that's a machlokes between Rava, Rav Yosef, and Abaye. According to Rava, it's a tolda of Choresh. Why? Because we're Puyei Ara. He's doing with it after soaking the ground. According to Rabbi Yosef, it's a tolda of Zoreya, because we don't go after the Maitzeh, we go after the Tachlis. And the Tachlis is the Tmuchei Peira. And according to Abaye, as long as it's similar to one or the other. You know, so what would be the halacha of the Maitzeh? Could I pour water over my hands over earth that has no Zorayim? It would be that according to Rabbah, I'd be softening the earth at the Tolda of Kodesh. But according to Rabbi Yosef, it would be Mutter. It would be Mutter Lagamre. Because we don't care about the Matzah, we care about the Tachlis. And Mashke, the Tachlis of Mashke, is with Smuke Peira. Here there are no Peira. And so it's Mutter. And that's what the Or Zeruah says, black and white, in Siman Nun Dalet. He says, Hashkala Rabbi Yosef, Mutar Rishpoch Mayim al Gadu Karaka Sheina Zrua, Hula Rabba Asr. And again, and so it depends how we pass him. How do we pass him? Do we pass him like Rabba, or like Rabbi Yosef, or like Abaye? If we pass him like Rabba or Abaye, it would be Asr Halacha L'Maisa. If we pass him like Rabbi Yosef, it would be Mutar Halacha L'Maisa. So we find Machokas Yishonim, how we pass him. The Or Zeruah says, Hashta the Kirashu Halacha to Rabbi Yosef, he passes like Rabbi Yosef. Therefore, Mutar Lishpok Mayim al Gadi Karka Shein Azrua, Afilu Bekarka Shedarka Lecharesh, even if you're dealing with a Saga, that usually is Nechrash, Velo Dami Lechoker Vachorex, because we define a Tolda in terms of the Tachlis, and in terms of the Tachlis, we don't have over here the Tachlis of Zoreya. Mashke is defined as a Tolda of Zoreya, it's not a Tolda of Koresh, even though the act is similar, if we are, but that doesn't define the Tolda. So this is the Or Zeruah, and it may also be the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Ches Halakha Beis, Paskins, Hamashke Smachin V'Ilanos G'Shabbos, Hareze Toldas Zoreya. This is Rav Yosef. Magnishna says, Hareze Toldas Zoreya, Memra perakama de moed katan, Hamanake Shamashke, Mishamai Masvinan Bey, Rabbo of Mishim Choresh, Rav Yosef Mishim Zoreya, Pasak Rabbeinu ki Rav Yosef. So we're defining to the Tachlis. And so according to the Rambam, it would appear that it would not be Mashke Zuraim, simply be Mashke Karka, it would be Mutter. However, the Hagos Maimanios on this Rambam, in Sifkatan Gimel, says, the Reish moed katan, Mashke Mayim Zoreya, Mishim Mayim Asrinim Dei, Rabba Amar Mishim Choresh, Rav Yosef Amar Mishim Zoreya, Umasik Abaye, the Maskana of the Gemara is, Chayav Mishim Shnehem. That we have, Tolda is similar either in terms of the Tachlis or in terms of the Pu'ula. So even though we're missing the Tachlis of Zoreya by pouring water over earth, we have the Pu'ula of Choresh, and you'd be Chayav. This is the Hagos Maimonides, it's also the Sefer Yerayim, it's also the Smag, and it's quoted in the Mishneh Berurah. In Siman Shin Lamed Vav, Siman Shin Lamed Vav, Se'if Kaf Vav, The Mishnah Berurah says as follows: Hamashke es hazra'im. This is the crux of the question in Moed Katan. Why are you chayav hamashke es hazra'im? So he says chayav mishum zoreya demoel b'hatzniach. The gam mishum chorei shemarta hakarka de'alachukit. The passing like Abaye, that either or, in other words, that it's enough to be similar in the tachlis or in the pu'uva. That's not like Rav Yosef, that not purely chayav mishum zoreya, like it appears in the Rambam, but rather chayav mishum zoreya, the gam mishum choresh. Halach l'maisa v'nafkamina, it's brought in the Shar HaTziyun, that he points out that this is the Morgan Avraham, the Shem Hagolos Maimoni, look in the Or Zerua, who's like the Rambam, but passing like Rav Yosef. However, the Smag and the Gos Maimoni pass like Abaye, Mashma the Rokea, also the Gra, and therefore, Lefize, Halach L'maisa, Yeshli Yizahir Gam Bekarka She'ena Zrua, Rakim Omedet L'charusha, as long as it's a Sada, as long as it's a Sada which is Roi, right? As long as it's a Sada, then we have a problem of pouring water, Bekarka She'ena Zrua. Okay, this is the Nafkamina of Or Zerua, but with the opposite side. Or Zerua Paskin Leheter, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins Leiser, he says also the Gra Paskins that way. So we have it's important for us to know how do we pass them like Rabba, like Rabbi Yosef, or like Abaye, and we pass them like Abaye that you're going to have an Isur Daraisa on something which is similar either in terms of the Pula or in terms of the Tachlis. Again, as a parenthetical remark, Rav Shach wrote a sefer on the Rambam called Avi Ezri, and he came to the same conclusion in the Rambam. He wants to put it into the Rambam that. Well, I should begin now. The Rambam has a malacha of bonah. Now, the Rambam, there's a malacha of bonah. It's one of 39 other malachas. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin that a tolda of bonah is megabein, making cheese. Making cheese is a tolda of bonah. In Perek Yud, the Rambam paskins that ma'ahil, opening up an umbrella, putting out an awning, is also a tolda of bonah. Now, if we'll compare these two actions to bona, so the act of bona and the tachlis of bona are quite clear. The act of bona is putting together pieces, right? And that's the act of bona. You put brick on brick on brick on brick, that's an act of bona. You put keresh to keresh to keresh, that's an act of bona. The tachlis of bona is to create some sort of a functional whole. So, in terms of megadein, it's similar in terms of the act, not in terms of the tachlis, right? In other words, the act is that you are taking, that you are bringing together the solid pieces of milk and turning them into cheese. But cheese is this amorphous form. Masha'en came, so similar in terms of the pu'ula, not so much in terms of the tachlis. Masha'en came, when we're dealing with ohel, ma'ahil, there's no putting things together. But clearly you have a functional form that has come out of it. Namely, that we get to the tachlis, it's making an end run around the ma'aseh. So if we pass like Abaye, that either the tachlis or the ma'aseh is enough to give us a tolda, that fits very, very nicely. Right? And then we would have this ability to have a tolda of binyan on the level of the pu'ula, that would be Megabein. We would have a tolda binyan on the level of the tachlis, that would be ma'ahil. So, it fits very, very neatly in many, many areas to be able to pass in like Abaye. But again, with this halach l'maisa, nafkamina. There are two more areas. One of them we'll just finish off now. The other maybe we'll leave for next time. We'll see how long it takes. One is, what would be the halacha about a liquid that we would pour onto earth that would not be tov l'zriya? Let's say we would assume that pouring oil onto earth would not be tov l'zriya, would that be permitted or forbidden on Shabbos? So there's a bir halacha that deals with this. In Siman Shin Lamed Vav, the Machaber says, Mutar on Shabbos, it's Yishim HaMadvav Gimel, Mutar lahatil bahem mei raglayim oshar mashkim she'ein matzmichim. In the time of the Machaber, it was assumed that mei raglayim would not be something to be matzmiya. We view things differently nowadays. We always take a child to the side of the road and say, you know, this will be your tree, right, etc. That somehow that we're arguing with something that we fertilize, whether there's a Tiferes Yisrael, this is Yishtanu Hadoros, so that things change. Once maybe it was more concentrated, less concentrated. Yeah, it's a problem. But leaving aside the Meira Glayim, Mashkin She'in Matzmichim, the Machaber says is Mutter. Says the Mishnah Berura in the Bir Halacha, Kasha. Why should it be Mutter? Let's think things through. If we were to pass in like the Bavli, they require Tol Vizriya for Harisha, and for Zriya, you require Tol Vizriya, fine. But we pointed out, we saw that we have the track of Yerushalmi, that simply, even if it has nothing to do with Zriya, behold, we still have Harisha. A. B. How do we pass in between Rabbah, Rabbi Yosef, and Abaye? Were we to pass in like Rav Yosef, like the Or Zeruah, then we would understand why Mashkim Shein and Matzmichim would be Mutar. The same way that you're allowed to pour water over an area where there are no plants, you're allowed to pour a liquid, which is Eina Matzmiach, on an area where there are plants. Because pouring liquid is Zoreya, and there here you have no Tachlis of Zriya. But Kosha, the Fima Shekosha HaSmag, we pass like Abaye. Vehuva Bahagot Maimani. V'hetiko ha-moged Avraham, she-ha-mashke mayim chayev mishum choresh gamkein, amai kosav, v'biyayin mutar, hu adin b'shar ha-mashim she'in matzmichim. Nehi zei no moel b'zra'im, it won't be a tolda of Zriya, al kopadim marfa ha-karka yedei lo-tuchis, is chayev mishum choresh. Namely, that it appears that we have a bit of a problem, that we want to pass in like Abaye. It appears that the Machaber ignores Abaye. It appears he passes like Rav Yosef. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shema Yeshlomar, the Lo Amru Mishum Choresh, Rak Hechadu Moel Uzroyim Gamte. Maybe we'll backtrack. Maybe we'll go back to the Bavli. Maybe we require Tovu Uzriya in order to have Karisha. Avo Hechashu Mekalkel, Esher De Misiapa Karka Gamte. However, Avahu Dokuk Vitzarachiyum. And after what we learned, it's Sarachiyum. And what I enjoy in this so much is that you could work on a sugya for 3 days and finish, and you realize that Mishnah Berurah knew everything you knew. Right? That he had it all down pat in front of him the same way that you had it, and he agreed, Sarachiyum, this is a problem. We have a problem, certainly in terms of Psak, that to be consistent, we should be able to take the Tachlis of Zriya out of the picture. We should be able to have a Tolda of Choresh simply via the act of Marpiei Ara, irrelevant over whether you have their Zeroyim, whether you don't, whether this water helps Zeroyim, whether it doesn't. So we'll leave with the Sarachiyun of the Mishnah Berurah. What I haven't covered today, and what we'll begin with next week, is the sheet of the Rambam himself. That on one hand, the Or Zeruah was Medayik in the Rambam, that he says that Mashke is a Tolda of Zoreya, Kaner the Rambam Paskins like Rav Yosef. On the other hand, the first halacha over there in Perek Ches says, HaMenakesh Bikori Ilanos, that's Toldas Choresh. And what the Gemara puts, Menakesh and Mashke, as one question. Are these two Zoreya or are these two Choresh? The Rambam seems to say that Menakesh is Choresh, and Mashke is Zoreya. Where is that? I mean, according to Rabbi Yosef, they are both considered to be Zoreya. According to Rabbah, they are both considered to be Choresh. According to Abaye, they are both. Where do we find someone who can take Menakesh and put it here, and Zoreya put it there? That's a difficulty. The Kesef Mishnah asks that question on the Rambam. So that we'll deal with. You know, somebody has this fit into our criteria. I sent you to an Or Sameach. It's a long Or Sameach. I don't expect you to learn the entire Or Sameach. But I'm interested in, he has a Havamina that he shoots down. But I think you can keep it up. Not everything which is shut down has to be shut down. It's not necessarily dead. Just shut down. But it could help us. That Havamina could help us very nicely within the Rambam, and it could fit very nicely into the Rambam. That's just, again, it's not Halakha L'maisa. Halakha L'maisa we paskin, we saw like the Babli, like the Rishalmi, like Abaye, halach l'maisa, we understand pretty much what we're holding, but it is proper to try and understand the difficult Rambam. So we'll start with that. We neder, then we'll move over into the Shiur. Why is the Manishtana? Why is the Shiur of Karisha different from the entire Siddur of the Pap? And then we'll take Karisha as a springboard and move over into the world of Malacha, Shein Sricha, Lagufa. That will be next Monday. Okay. Yes? That's what the Mishnah Berurah calls Dochak v'Tzarachiyu. What you did, you were Mechavim, he points out that there is a Ma'amar Mordechai who says that, Baruch Shekivanta, but the whole Zod, it's Dochak v'Tzarachiyu, because the fact that you need a Sada, that's a Gemara. Both the Bavli and Yerushalmi say you need a Sada. And Yerushalmi says that if you miyapa in a bayit, that's called Boneh. If you miyapa in a Sada, that's called Chorish. So to require a Sada as a criteria is not that far off. But to require Tov Lizriya as a criteria of a Sada, even though your purpose is for not Lizriya, firstly, the Miyuchas Haran says no, black and white. I also disheartened. It's just sort of crossing lines. But the Mama Mordechai says it. Okay. So you Baruch Shekivanta. Yeah?
I'm still somewhat confused. When I want to build a house, I want to put a tent and build ground. Or if I need to avoid drainage problems, I have to level ground. My tent is not planned. And as soon as I see that plot, I just plan out the I think that we might be bulldozer, or it's plowed the road here. It's true that
I've got
a
bulldozer plant, but I'm trying to maintain
the intention
of planting. Now, is that anything? No. So, what we're saying is that you don't need an intention to plant. You simply need a sada which is plantable. So, if you are in a desert, and you are flattening out an area to make a soccer field in a desert, that we would call bonah. Okay? Because it is not a sadeh. You can't plant there. But the whole zot, you are a mashka p'nei hakarka. So that is a malacha of bonah. Were you to make the soccer field over here in this valley, which could be used for zriya, just that you would rather have a soccer field, that's already sada, your masha kaneha sada, even though your intent is not for planting, that's called choresh. Okay, so we have over here, again, on one hand, generally, it's only a question, does mandate to mikdash, you know, if you had to bring a korban, what would you tell the kohen? I'm bringing this korban because I was choresh, or I'm bringing this korban because I was bona, if you did the mazid, what was the hasra? However, we pointed out that there are practical ramifications as well, in terms of that sometimes using certain criteria you'll get to a heter, using other criteria you'll get to a nisa. Do we find over here, Chaim explains, that the idea that was missing is being brought in, namely that the problem of Dabashen and Meskadin is a lack of Yediyah and the lack of Malchus Machsheves, and over here the Yediyah is being brought in via the Pesik Reisha, or do we explain it according to the more classic way of understanding that the Chisan of Dabashen and Meskadin Kishma Kainhi is a lack of Kavana, and here we have a halachic equation that because of the Pesik Reisha, because we're dealing with a certain linkage, we transfer the Kavana from the Pu'ula HaMuteret to the Malacha, or if you want to, we transfer the Malacha to the Pu'ula HaMuteret, which has Kavanah. One of these we are linking. And we pointed out that Yitzachain, that there'd be a Nafkamina between the theory and the practice. There would be Nafkamina in practice due to the theory. And Nafkamina would be in terms of how do we define this linkage of Psik Reisha. If you recall, the language of the Rabbeinu Hananel was Dovar Shehu Barur, something which is obvious. But what does that mean, obvious? We have all sorts of stages of that which is obvious. Are we using obvious in the physical sense? Are we dealing with obvious in halachic sense? Let me give you an example. Let's say we have roth. How do we view a situation of roth? Is that a psik reisha or not? Now we find, let's say we have a halacha in by Meiser Behema. Yeah, it says, Asiri Vade Amarachmana Velo Asiri Safik. Those of you who learned the Sugya of Tapso Kohen in the first parak of Baba Mitzia, and that's Zayin Amar Aleph. So you have a situation where the animals are going out of the deer and they're being marked, and then one of them jumps back in, and now we're not sure which animal was in, which animal was out, etc. So that whole herd is now Potter from Meiser Behema, because we can't bring about an Asiri Vade. So Tapso says over there, what's the problem? We have road. Let that animal that jumped back in be batel b'rov. We claim the Baal Chai is not batel. That's the Rabbanon. Here we're talking about Meiser Behema Midaraisa. So let there be a din of batel b'rov. It also leads to the Tzarachiyon. So over there, if I'm not mistaken, in the Sheet, we mentioned this last year, there is a daya that rov, Ruba de Isa Kamon, is not a vados. That's not what we call vadai. Rov is not vadai in terms of Meiser Behema. Or, we have a din in Mamzerus. We have a din also by Mamzer Vadei Amarachmana, the low suffix mamzer. Suffix mamzer is mutar level of the kohol. Many times when you're dealing with second marriage, it's better not to ask too many questions. Remain a suffix mamzer. Don't you ask too many questions to find your vada mamzer, you're stuck. Right? You know, it's just assume that your mother got to get. But the question is, let's say we have a room of 10 children, and 9 of them are mamzerim, and 1 is a kosher vada. So are you going to say that they're all mamzerim based on rov? So there's a Pnei Yoshua over there in Kedushin, in the Sugya, in Asara Yuchsin, on Mamzerus, Ayin Tesh, Ayin Dalet, I don't remember. And the Pnei Yoshua over there says, no, Ruba is not Vados. Ruba is not Vados in terms of Mamzerus. Ruba is not Vados in terms of Meiser Behema. What about in terms of Psik Reisha? What if I know that 70% of the time they're going to drag this chair, it's going to make a Charitz? Is that called a Psik Reisha? 70%. Or, let's take another example. What if last time I dragged this chair made a charitz? We have a chazaka. And we do use halachic terminology to create a relationship between the two acts. Generally, we have a din. Achrav mahatos. We have a din. If you have a suffix, go after the chazaka. Here we have a chazaka. We have a pre-existing, we have a precedent. We have a certain status quo. Does that affect the din of psik reisha? So the chora, it should be totally in our hakira. If what we need is yediya, 70% is not yediya. What was yesterday will not necessarily be tomorrow. That's not yediya. But if all we require is a linkage in order to be able to transfer kavana from act A to act B, or to consider act B as being part of act A, then yitachin, at the moment that halachically we have over here a linkage, call it rov, call it chazaka, maybe that's already enough to create a linkage. This is what's called in the poskim Karov Lipsik Reisha. Karov Lipsik Reisha. And we find that really it's an unclear area, halach l'maisi. If you look in the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, over there, the Kesef Mishnah, in Perek Aleph, quotes a girsa in the Sugya on Daf Kaftet in the day, Sugya that we learned about Gorir Adam Kisei. So over there, we saw there's maybe a difference between a katan and a gadol. Kisei gadol, kisei katan. And there is the question, how exactly to be goreis in the Gemara. So Kesef Mishnah quotes, Ubisparim hamedukdokim nimsa, because it feels a proper Jewish in the Gemara, is as follows. Machlokes b'ketanim. The machlokes, Rav Yehudin, Rav Yishimon, Rav Dabrashen, and Miskavein, that's by ketanim. Avol b'gudolim, if you have large chairs, divrei hakol osur. Why divrei hakol osur? So the Kesef Mishnah then continues, here he's quoting the Ramah, quoting Rav Moshe HaKohen, then it continues, v'domni v'psik reisha, v'tzarachiyun adkan l'shonav. That we have something which is domel l'psik reisha, namely, a katan maybe would be 10% of the time to make a charitz. A gadol, 70% of the time, 60% of the time, we make a charitz. That already is domi lipsik reisha, and we get the domi lipsik reisha divrei hakol osur. That's on one hand. On the other hand, or another place where this concept, the karvos lipsik reisha, is brought, is in an egg vital. Yes.
Karvos lipsik reisha,
I'm just saying that these are situations maybe we would call Karov of Sikresha. Then we have to ask, what's the halacha of Karov of Sikresha? So according to this use of the Ramah, Karov of Sikresha, Rabbi Shimon is Modim. That's the equivalent. Donid of Sikresha is an equivalent of Sikresha. We have a Gemara Sadi Heyam at Aleph, where we have a long brisa. Tana Rabbanan, Hakolev, Hamachaveit, Hamagaben, Hamachaveit, Hamaraveit, Saroda, Chalos Vash, etc. Where we have a Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer, who says all these acts are Chayav Midaraisa, and the Chachamim who say, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh, Eino Ela Misham Shavuos. Within the list over there is Nechaveit, someone who's sweeping a dirt floor. Sweeping a dirt floor, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Chayav Midaraisa, and according to Chachamim, is Aser Rabbanan. What are we talking about? What's together? So the Egelik understands, when you sweep a dirt floor, you have a karov lipsik resha that you're going to fill in the holes in the floor. A karov lipsik resha that we're going to be memale chorim. And that's a machlokes, according to Egelik. Rabbi Eliezer says karov lipsik resha is psik resha, because it's a psik resha to nichole, right? When you don't only want a clean floor, you would also like an even floor. Mashenken, according to the Chachamim, psik resha, the karav of psik resha would only bring you to an Isur Drabanan, not to an Isur Doraisa. Again, another application. Halakha lemaisa, yeah, the Egel Eitel offers this as a theory, why we would have a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the case of Mechabeh. That when you have a mamash of psik resha, then you chalei, that's chayav midaraisa. When you have a karav of psik resha, it's also Drabanan. Generally, Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon Meskaben is muter. Here we have like an in-between category. Halakha l'maisa, we find also a certain lack of consistency or clarity within the poskim. If we look in Siman Reish Ayin Zayin at the very beginning, we find the Machaber quoting the Gemara, but changing one word. Ner Shemunach, Reish Ayin Zayin Aleph. Ner Shemunach Achorei HaDelet. If you have a candle which is attached to the back of the door, namely, every time you open or close the door, the flame is going to waver. Ner hamunach achori hadelet, osur lefoach hadelet. Send us a little remove your kedarko. And we'd have to open it very, very slowly. Why, says the Mechaber? Shema yichabenu haruach. Shema yichabenu haruach. So the Bir Halacha asks, v'chora kasha, ha'aminam v'gemara hupsik resha, v'lachein osur bazeh. What's this shema? Shema means maybe yes, maybe no. A psik resha is vadai. Ulam l'fimash yapire shema maharsha. Lo have a psik resha mamash. Rak karov l'psik resha. Necha halosha. Namely, the machaber is paskening that karov l'psik resha has the status of psik resha. Karov l'psik resha has the status of psik resha. Namely, that we're taking into account rov. And we're saying this rov already creates that relationship which will take it out of the heter of Dabar Sheino Miskaven. That's on one hand. On the other hand, just to be intellectually honest, in Siman Shin Lamed Zayin, where the Machaber deals with the classic case of Grey Rusk, Kise Shulchan, etc., all the way in Shin Lamed Zayin, Gorer Adam Ito Kise Vesafsel Ben Gedolim Ben Ketanim. So the Mishnah Berurah says over there, Sifkat and Dalai. Where is it? Sifkat and Sifkat and Gimel. Hilkach, cave on the Dabar Shenem Eskavei Mutar, Hilkach Gorer. Af al Gav de Begre Russo, Motsui Shei Osu Charitzin Bekarka. The East, the Ikon, Mishum Chash Chofer, the Tal of the Chofer, Afi Luhachi, Lapsik Resha. Or it's even though it's Matsui, it's not Psik Resha. So again, the question is, what does Mishum mean by the phrase Matsui? I would assume Matsui means that it's more than 50%. Matsui means that it's quite common. That's how we translate it into English. If it's common, that means more than 50%. And previously we saw that Karol of Psik Resha is Osir, and here he's telling us, no, even though it's Matsui, it's still not a Psik Resha. So Halakha L'maaseh Borur that we have a Kav. Clearly there is a line, that there's Psik Resha, there's Karol of Psik Resha. The question is, where do you draw the line? And it remains very unclear. We have a certain lack of clarity also when you have a process. And the process can be broken down into mini acts. And each mini act could be that you're going to have only a possibility. When you put together all the miniacs, you're going to have statistically a probability. Is that called a korov lipsik resha? Or is that called the darshan of miskaven? Right? Again, a parallel question. You know, it depends from the perspective that you're looking. So all of this could be, again, totally in the machlokes between Reb Chaim and the classic way of understanding. That's A. B. I know I'm leaving it up in the air to a certain degree, but I can't do more than simply read to you what it says in the poskim. B. What's the halacha of amira la'akum in the world of psikresha? Namely, am I allowed to tell a goy to do an act which is a pula muteret, but the result of that act is going to be a malacha? I couldn't do it. Can I tell a goy to do it? Why even raise the issue? I raise the issue because we have Ramah in Siman Reish Nun Gimel Sifei. The Ramah over there gives an eitzah for how to heat up food on Shabbos during the winter. That what you do is in a society, Reish Nun Gimel. That in a society where you have a lot of goyim floating around, so what you do is as follows: lachein nohagim, and this was common practice. Sheha'enam Yehudim motzin hakaderos min hatanurim shematminim b'hem u'moshivin eitz otam eitz ol tanur beisachorav o alav, that you have pots of cold food that have been preserved. We have one hatman of keeping it preserved that it shouldn't spoil. And they put those on the radiators. They put those on the tanur beisachorav. And then umeva'eret hashivcha achar kach hatanur hahu. Then on Shabbos during the day, it's going to be cold, and the shivka, her job is to light the furnace, and she's allowed to light the furnace because kulam are considered to be cholim eitzel hatzinun. So you can even ask her to light the furnace. She va'ayedeiz there by her lighting the furnace in order to be able to warm up the room. Hakaderos kolzos v'nir tachin. Then these pots that are currently on the radiators are going to reach a level of yad soledet bo. So here we have that we're asking the first goy to put the pot